You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What's the main thing God wants from people? What does He most want from you?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, our Father, help us to love. We need to learn how to love you. Teach us by your love in Jesus Christ. We need to learn how to love one another. Teach us by your love in Jesus Christ. Help us to walk and talk love as you loved us and gave your Son to be our Savior. Amen. What is the main thing God wants from people? What does He most want from you? If I read His word correctly, God wants all of us to love Him. He commands our respect, of course. Reverence is His due. He invites us to trust Him. He is trustworthy. He has a right to expect us to obey Him. Obedience is the mark of a dutiful son. But love is something we have to give of our own accord, from the heart. That's what God is looking for from you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's from the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. You should teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. It is His commandment, not mine. Jesus Christ called it the first and great commandment when somebody asked Him, what's the greatest commandment? He answered without hesitation, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the great and first commandment. When you think about it, it almost makes God look as if He would do anything in order to be loved. Actually, He has made it quite clear that He won't give up His holiness, His absolute perfection, His stern requirement of obedience, or any of His position in the universe as God. He's going to be God no matter what. In spite of sentimental and wishful thinking on the part of some people, He has not watered down His law in order to make it more acceptable to people. He does not wheedle the love out of people with concessions to their pride, prejudice, or passions. He is God, and He's going to remain God. If people don't love Him, at least they will respect Him. If they don't respect Him, they will feel the heavy hand of His judgment. If they don't listen to His judgment, they will die. It is harsh, but it is true. He is God, and He will always be God. The great God does not want people to die. It is not His will that anyone should perish, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. The Bible keeps saying that, but people don't seem to listen to it. Still, God keeps talking and acting as only He can, loving and wanting to be loved. He will go to almost any lengths to be loved. He won't forget about His justice, and He won't give up His holiness, but He will go to almost any lengths to be loved. That explains what he did in Jesus Christ. That's love. Not so much that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be a substitutionary sacrifice for all of our sins. He didn't have to do that, but he did it in Jesus Christ. All of this happened a long time ago, but not so long ago as some people think. The man who saw it told about it. John wrote in his first letter to people like us, the very first chapter, the very first verse, "I myself have seen him with my own eyes and listened to him speak and have touched him with my own hands." That was about 75 generations ago. It's not so long ago when you realize that some of your own families are represented by four living generations. After only 75 generations, the message has come down to us. It's his message of love in Jesus Christ. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us, and has given to us this word of reconciliation. "I deliver to you first of all what I received, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, as the scripture said he would, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day as the scripture said he would be. He bore in his own body our sins on that cross of his. To that cross he nailed the handwriting of all the stuff that is against us. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive." That's the way Christ's men talked only 75 generations ago. They have given us God's message of love, as real as the one he gave to his people on Mount Sinai through his spokesman Moses. "Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." There is only one God. He disclosed himself to his people in the Old Testament as a God of justice and love. His judgments are pure and right altogether. His steadfast love abides forever. That's God. He is the God of the New Testament, disclosing himself to his people in Jesus Christ. He's the God of justice. That's why Jesus Christ died. He died as we have to die, because he died for us. He's a God of love. For the love that was in him, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we talk about Jesus Christ, we're talking about God. In that man, God. "There's one mediator between God and men," said St. Paul, "the man Christ Jesus. He's the substitutionary sacrifice for all of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." It's a great story, and a real one, of the great God who is for real. He needs to be taken seriously in his son, Jesus Christ, who stripped himself of the prerogatives of his power, glory, and majesty as the eternal and unique son of his father. He took flesh and blood. He shared the sweat, the agony, and the pain of human living. Though he hated sin with a consuming hatred, he suffered for our sins even to death. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. The punishment that results in our peace was laid upon him. That's God in all of his justice and all of his love. You can see it in Jesus Christ. One thing God is looking for from you, your love. It's the one thing an awful lot of people refuse to give him. They will pay their respects to him. They will offer a form of devotion, will even claim to obey him, but they won't and don't love him. If they loved, they would be different people from what they are. They would be kind and considerate as he is. They would show mercy as he does. They would forgive as he forgives. They would love a brother as he loves all of us. One of his men said, "You who claim to love God, how can you say that you love God whom you have not seen, when you refuse to love your brother whom you have seen? Anyone who says he loves God and hates his brother is a liar." That's one of Christ's men talking. This is really the secret of true conversion, the kind Martin Luther experienced, for example. He discovered the love of God in Jesus Christ. The love of God explained everything to him. It explained all the commandments. When he asked himself what this commandment means, "You shall have no other gods before me," Martin Luther answered, "We should fear and love and trust in God above all things." When he asked himself, "What does this mean, honor your father and mother?" Martin Luther answered, "We should fear and love God
that we may not despise our parents, but hold them in love and esteem, and gladly hear and obey them. We should fear and love God, that we may not fall into all kinds of vice, but hold the institution of marriage sacred. We should fear and love God, that we may not take what doesn't belong to us, but help our neighbor to protect what is his. We should fear and love God, that we may not slander or defame our neighbor, but help him protect his reputation. We should fear and love God, that we may not hurt nor harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need. The love of God is everything. As God himself said, love is the one thing he's looking for from all of us, as it is the one thing he gives to transform life for all of us. With love he forgives, and in love he gives life. With love he is a father, and in love he wants us to be his dear children. With love he tells us to pray to him as dear children pray to their dear father. The family plays a great role in God's plan. That's the way he arranged things, the way he does things. The family is the first church in any child's life. That's the way it was meant to be. Often it isn't that way, but that's the way it was meant to be. Children often experience the love of God for the first time in a family that loves God. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. It's an order, and it's a way of life. This is what makes for a real family, the love of God. Love between husbands and wives is great, but the love of God is greater. It doesn't take the place of love between husband and wife, but it ennobles that love. Love between parents and children is great, but the love of God is greater. It doesn't take the place of love between parents and children, it just ennobles that love. The love of God is not a cold, calculating business. It's warm with faith to ennoble the most ordinary pursuits of life and to make everything a thing of joy. The church is a family. People who love God, who have learned to see God in Jesus Christ and to love him as his redeemed children. The church needs to give people today the family experience of faith, to tell people what it means to love God and to live in his world, to share the fellowship of love that there is in Christ, to discover how to love God when one sits in the house, walks by the way, lies down, and arises to go to work. At its best, the family is a teaching community, and the church is but a family of families. I fully realize that many churches do not have this positive influence on people. There are church people who do not know how to relate to God, how to worship him, how to pray to him, or how to use his resources of love in meeting the problems in their everyday lives. Some of us have to admit that at times we are negative, angry, hostile, rebellious, and proud. We forget God. We neglect love, hurt our children, and fail to remember who we are, what God wants us to do and to be. The good news of God is forgiveness. Even for people like us, there's forgiveness for you, whoever you are. It's in Jesus Christ. His love reaches out into every nook and cranny. His love teaches us all the time, and we are to teach that to our children. How can you walk and talk with children? Give them a positive faith in God, in his goodness and in his love. Tell them about Jesus Christ as you know him. You don't have to know everything about him in order to teach your children the love of God. Teach them to know what you know as you've learned it, to know the love of God in Christ. Some of the best teachers I know are people who have just recently learned to know Jesus Christ. They're some of the most enthusiastic teachers I've ever run into in my life. Give your children more than a spectacle of people running through life, as T.S. Eliot put it, chasing 1,000 lost golf balls. Give them a picture of God, of Christian discipleship, and the promise of eternal life. Give them what the world cannot give, the peace and love and joy of God. The church body of which I'm a member makes available for the instruction of children a poster set called Say and Do Love. It's based on the parables and miracles of Jesus as he talked and walked with people like us. It shows how to love. He loves us and forgives us for our failures to say and to do love, to talk and walk love in the experience of his grace. Say and do love. Teach your children to walk and talk
with Jesus Christ, that they may learn his language, walking and talking in love. Amen.